was down at the camp at Mount Salem, and Brother Taylor, he had told us, he says, I think I know somebody for your daughter. And, you know, and I was ready to take anybody at that time to take her off my hand. I mean, we had five kids, four girls and a boy, and so I was like, come on, let's go, let's get these kids out of here. And I remember he introduced them, and so we're in the van, we're leaving, and he's standing right at the bottom of the steps from the dining hall there, and he's standing there, and I look back at Lori. I said, there he is. I said, did you give him your phone number? And she said, no. I said, come here. Here's our phone number. And so we gave him the phone number, and he called, and boy, if I could have that day back. But I do thank the Lord. I'm really proud of Dan and Lori and the kids, and I thank the Lord for them here in North Carolina. Stop, think where are we at? And it's been a very traumatic time for me today. We got up earlier than that. We left at 5:30 to come here, and then you don't. Some of you probably don't understand this, but I had to cross the Mason-Dixon line. I had to go from the north to the south, and that's hard on me, all righty? And I see you're having a problem with this already, but I just want to tell you this, and I told my folks at home, I just want to remind you, we won the war, all righty? So just got that off my chest, wanted you to make sure you remembered that there, but you say, preacher, we'll just get up and walk out. I don't care. The offering was already taken, so you just go right ahead. And we already heard a good sermon there, and so I want to share, though, a few things with you. I thank the Lord as he preached there about the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad I have the Lord, aren't you? I'm glad he's my Savior. I'm glad I know who he is. I'm glad what he's done in my life. I grew up in the Chicagoland area, and we moved to Pennsylvania. I've been 35 years pastoring. I was assistant pastor for five and a half years before that in Pennsylvania. And the town that our church is in is actually, we're outside of the town 2 miles, but our town is 1,800 people and probably 50,000 cows. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of people around. But I'll tell you what, you know what? Whether it's in D.C. or in Chicago or in Little Martinsburg, Pennsylvania, there are people who need to know about the shepherd. And I'm glad that we can tell them. My grandfather was a soul winner. And he would take me as a little boy with him, and we would go, and he would take visitors cards, and he would go by and talk to people about the Lord. And I remember as a little kid, I'd go, and we'd go to the house, and then some of the houses he would say, Mark, why don't you stay in the car? And I'd always wonder why, and didn't know till later on that the reason I had to stay in the car that time was the house before I wasn't being a good boy. And so he would make me stay in the car at that time. But then he would take me to the next house. And I remember we'd go in, and before I even knew what it was, we were out telling people about Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, one of the greatest things, and I'm glad for soul winning times and conferences like this, when we are just reminded once again that we have somebody wonderful to tell others about, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all can tell folks about Christ. You know, we talk about our sports, don't we? We talk about everything that's going on. We talk about politics. Well, why can't we talk about Jesus Christ and tell folks about him? I want to speak to you here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel, what, I have to turn a button on? Well, no one told me that part. Where's the button at? There it is. Now I'm on? All right, thank you. I thought it was loud as it was, but can you hear me all right? All right, how many of you would like for them to turn me off again? All right, thank you. I appreciate it. I saw hands. And one of them was my wife. But, I wish there was a button for that on her too. Amen. Well, anyways, let's get serious here. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we're going to look at a lot of verses in this story here as it all goes together. I entitled the message, What's Wrong? Or this, God is always right. God is always right. He's never wrong. And I believe God's that way, don't you? But I know that, but I also, like I said, one of the titles, two titles to it is, what's wrong? What's wrong? You ever sometimes feel like that in life, like, what's wrong? I prayed. I asked God to do something. What's wrong? I find something interesting here. And let's look at chapter 4 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And the word of Samuel came to Israel." Now, Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Now, we're going to go on with the story here in just a few moments, but I want you to think of what's happening here in the story. Israel is going into battle, but against the Philistines. And the Philistines was a mighty army, and as we're going to see. And things are not going to go so well. If I was to plan things out, I would have had it all a whole lot different. But you see, God never makes mistakes. And God had a plan, and God was trying to do something. And we're going to see in the end how that God prevails in all this. Let's ask God to help us now. Father, we thank you again for this time. Thank you for the wonderful message we just heard. Lord, I'm so glad that you're my shepherd. Lord, oh, how lost we were before we knew you as our Savior. And I pray now that we might look to the Word of God for some help. Lord, I pray you to help us to be better soul winners. Help us to be better Christians. And so, Father, use the message tonight. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, the Philistines were coming out against Israel. And, of course, when we talk about Israel, we realize that this is God's people. And when I think about, you know, to be on God's team, how can we fail is the first thing I think. Because we have God. I know that God does not fail. I know sometimes I do. But when I stop and think, now, here is God's people, Israel, and there's the Philistines. Why, if you didn't know the story, who would you think would win? You would think it'd be God's people. But we find in the story here that Israel, as you notice there in verse number 2, that Israel was smitten. So Israel is beaten by the enemies of God. The Philistines have beaten them. And I'm like, you know, when I read the story, and again, you know, if we didn't know the whole story, what was going to take place, we would think, all right, here is Israel going against the Philistines, and they have God. Why, surely they're going to win. But the Bible said there, as we read in verse 2, that Israel was smitten. And so I think, you know, I would have expected a victory there, but it didn't happen. And it goes on to tell us how bad of a beating they had. And then notice the second part of verse number 2. It says, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Now, understand how many people that is. You know, it's easy for us to sit in a service here tonight and say, all right, 4,000 people died. 4,000 men died. Do you realize how many people that is? You know, if we go back to, remember 9/11? Remember how many people died? I mean, weren't we all moved by that? Almost 3,000 people died there on 9/11 in New York. And to this day, I remember where I was at, of course. I'm sure most of us do. And remember where we were at and what was going on. And I remember I came home and I turned the television on and I saw the pictures of such devastation. And I saw the tears. And for months and years now, we've been hearing about families that have been in heartbreak because of what happened there. This was a devastation. About 3,000, what the Bible said there, that about 4,000 men died. I mean, you think about that. There was a lot of moms that were heartbroken. There was a lot of dads that they were like, this was not supposed to happen. When their sons went out to battle, they were in God's army. They were the ones you would think would have the victory. And yet they died. What a tough time. But God's always good, isn't he? Wait a minute. God, you're always good, but about 4,000 men died. Now, as we think, that doesn't sound too good. So Israel, they didn't give up, though, and we find out they did something else. Look at verse number 3. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? He said this, notice, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant and of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelt between the cherubims and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with an ark of the covenant of God. So what's taking place here now is they decide, you know what? All right, we suffered a loss. We were hurting in battle. And so they have the idea, said, let's get the ark of the covenant. Now understand, this ark represented the power and the presence of God. I look at this, I'm saying, hey, good thing. All right, they got beat. They were God's army. They were God's people, but they got beat. They didn't stop. They said, hey, we need the presence and the power of God. You know, you think about this. If we're going to ever be the soul winners we ought to be, we need the presence and the power of God in our lives too. Amen. You know, I mean, we need the presence and the power of God. You see, outside there is a bunch of lost people on their way to hell. And you know what? I was out soul winning the other day and I knocked on the door and I asked a man, I said, if you died today, do you know you go to heaven? He says, I don't know. No one ever told me. That's in America. That's in a place where there's churches all over. We live up in an area where, I mean, it's not really like in the big city. And yet the man said, no one ever told me. That's a sad situation. But if I go, I want the power of God in my life because I'm not there to try to just talk somebody into saying a prayer. I want someone to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be born again. I want that. And it's not going to happen by what verses I know. It's going to happen, I believe, with the power of God in our lives. There's a lost world. You know what most of us do about this lost world? Gripe about it. You know how much griping helps? Nothing. You know what will change things? When we, as God's people, start telling folks about Jesus Christ. We start, as he said, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people out here have no idea about salvation. I'm talking about people go to church, do the right things. Israel here was doing the right thing. They were going against the enemy, and yet they lost. So now what are they doing? They said, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant. Let's bring it here. Great idea. And so they bring it, and notice what happened in verse number 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth rang again. Can you imagine to be there? And all of a sudden the ark is coming in the camp there and the people are shouting so much that the earth rang again. You ever in traffic and all of a sudden you got some knucklehead behind you with this boom, 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 boom. You go on his car, the car's shaking, you know. He's got earplugs in his ears, but he's got the music up real high. It's kind of like this. Turn it down, take the earplugs out if you want to listen to it, but don't make me listen to it. You say, what do you do when people are behind you with that kind of music? I want to put it in reverse and floor it. Hey, man. I had someone pull up next to me, and I was waiting for my wife at Walmart, and this guy pulled up, and I mean, he was just cussing and swearing in the song, you know, some of this garbage they have, and I thought, oh, I've got a good CD in mind, and so I took my little old man Buick, amen, and I turned that key on and turned that radio up as loud as I could, and they were singing about Jesus, and I looked over at him, he looked at me, and I went, you know what? The world's not afraid to shout. We ought to shout it from the housetops. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. So what happens? They say, well, let's get the ark. And boy, they got it. And man, they are happy about it. They are rejoicing. Now think about it. This is the same people that just lost 4,000 men. But what thinking of the power of God, and they're rejoicing in what's taking place. So it must have been a great morale booster there to them, and they're shouting and they're praising God, and they're praising God so much that the Philistines are hearing what is going on. And they look at verse number 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. So what happens? These Israelites were shouting so much that the Philistines, the devil's crowd, heard them. You know what? I think it's great. I stand and preach. I see cars going by out there. I see the lights go by out there. You know what's great? I hope that when they go by, they go, man, something's going on in that church. Amen. Something happened. You know what? These people, the Philistines said, hey, something's going on down there with the Israelites. What is going on? And then they realized that they were, that the ark of God was there. And so what happens? They understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. Now notice verse 7. And the Philistines were afraid. Well, they should be. For they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Oh, man, the Philistines, they're getting nervous now. They're nervous because God's people who suffered some loss yet went out there and said, we want the ark there. And they brought the ark. That was a good thing to do. And they said in verse number 9, be strong and quit yourselves in like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. And the Philistines fought. And what happened? You see what happened? Israel was smitten, wasn't it? Verse 10. 1 Samuel. Are you there? Israel was smitten. Wait a minute. God's people. Okay, they had some already died, and now they're they bring the ark of God. They're shouting. It sounds to me like they're doing all the right things. And what happens? Israel's smitten. Verse 10, I finish it up. And they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel, look at there, 30,000 footmen. Wow. You know, 4,000 was a lot to me. Now there's 30,000 more. That's a lot of people. God's people. They're going against the devil's crowd. And it's just like, wait a minute, is God always good? Answer that. And why is this happening? Why is this happening? I'm sure the Israelites are wondering what's going on here. They got the ark of God. They've praised God. And I imagine it almost seems rather hopeless to them, and nothing seemed to be going right. You know, sometimes that's the way we feel like in life, too. You say, I just try to do what's right. It seems like things don't always go right. It doesn't always go right in our life. But God's always with us. You see, what God was doing here was working on Israel because something was wrong. Again, if I was just to look at the story and say, they were willing to fight for the Lord, God, give them the victory. But 4,000 people died. God, they brought the ark. And then now, what do we have? We have that 30,000 footmen died. And I look and I think, how in the world, what is going on? Well, go over to chapter number 5. Chapter number 5, verse number 1. And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face in the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. Think about it. They brought the ark in there and they set it next to Dagon. Dagon fell on his face. Do you know what? The gods of this world can't stand up to the God that we have. Amen. And then he said in verse number 4, and when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. So now here we got their god Stumpy is right there. That is all they have. I mean, he wasn't real. But the power of God was there. First time he falls over, and then they got him there. They come in, there's that little stump left there. And again, I'm thinking, yes, we're seeing some victory.
So they go and they see what's happening. They said, listen, we got to get rid of this. We got to get rid of it. We don't want the ark there. And so they send the ark to the people of Ashdod. And when they did that, the people began to die. So they sent the ark over to Gad, and then the people there started dying. They had sent it to Ekron, and the same thing happened there. And the hand of God was very heavy upon them. And I'm looking at the story again. I'm thinking, all right, now we're going to have a great victory here, because look at these people are dying now. It's been the Israelites, and so things are going to be a whole lot better now. But we find that God is able to bless, and God, I believe, was blessing, but God was still trying to do something in their hearts. It sounds like a great ending here, but the story's not over. You see, there was the 34,000 have died, and remember the great victory there, but 34,000 men had died in Israel, and the ark is back, and it seemed like, you know, like everything was going to be all right, but it wasn't happening. And so he sent the ark back to the children of Israel. They sent it back to Beth Shemesh. There we go. And the people, they brought it back, and the people were rejoicing. Go with me to chapter number 6 and look at verse number 13. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat, a harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark. Notice what they did then, and rejoiced to see it. So now all of a sudden they're excited because the ark is back. This is good. This looks like this is going to turn out all right. So we had 4,000 people die, and then 30,000 people died, and now we find out that even if you read in the whole story there's 50,000. What it comes out to is this, and I'll make it real short on this part. There was over 84,000 people died of Israel. God's good, isn't he? He is. I can imagine a lot of folks in Israel saying, "Hey, God, what's going on? What's the problem? We've sacrificed, we've fought, we've done all that we possibly can, and God, what is going on?" Well, there was a problem. And here's something interesting. God used a man of God named Samuel. Chapter 7, verse number 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake, the man of God, Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, "If ye do return unto the Lord," notice this, "with all your" what? "Hearts." He said, "You return to the Lord with all your hearts." But go on. "Then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Do you know what? You see, the problem was this. Israel had a problem. You say, "But they were fighting the right battle." Yes. They brought the ark. Yes. It was taken away, but they brought it back again. Yes. But the thing was, it wasn't God causing all the problems here. It was a problem with Israel's heart. You see, when we go soul winning and we teach our Sunday school classes and we preach our sermons, it's more than just the motions that we go through. Our hearts play a big part. You see, In the story here, the people, they were doing the right things, but they had a heart problem. And what's interesting about it here is God said that, and you know what, as I read in all that story there of all the battles and what took place, we find out finally the man of God. Have you ever gone to church before and it's like someone called the preacher and told him on you? And you think as a teenager growing up, I knew my mom called my preacher every Saturday night and told him everything about me. Because he'd get up and he'd go, "You young people!" And I'm like, "Mom, do you know what? God speaks to a man of God about what to preach." Sometimes people say, "Preacher, you're stepping on my toes today." I said, "I was aiming higher than that. I was aiming at your heart." I had one man, he got mad. He said, "I'm not going back." I said, "Why?" He said, "You were preaching right at me." I said, "I'm telling you something I did." He said, "See?" I said, "I preach to everybody. I don't know what's going on, but I know this. We all have a heart that has a tendency to get away from God. And we can have a heart that is cold and a heart that is far from God and yet walk through those doors every Sunday, go to Sunday school classes, teach a class, sing in the choir, even preach behind the pulpit, and our hearts not be right with God. And sometimes we wonder, why? What is going on? God, we're serving you. We're doing the right things. Israel did. And it was defeat after defeat after defeat. Why? Because there was a problem in their heart. When I look at this, I'm thinking, what? God said, "Then put away the strange gods and Asherah from among you." I'm like, Israel, what were you thinking? Why you have those strange gods? You have Israel, you got the real God. Why would you want something else? Let me ask you something. What takes you out of church on Sunday? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That's good. That's good. Yeah. And preacher, you know, revival meeting, you know, we just can't come because my favorite program's on. Yeah. Come on. Right. Hey, let's get those other gods out. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, preacher, it's summertime, you know, we got to play. Hey, that's what they made Saturdays for. Amen? You know, anymore it's like Sunday is another Saturday. And I'm like, our thing is we come to church and you all look good and I'm glad you're here tonight, but I'm going to ask you something. How's your heart tonight? We all shook hands and everybody seemed really nice. But the fact of the matter is, if we were able to see our hearts, and God is, what would He see? You know, I grew up in church, but I didn't get saved until I was 17 years old. Everybody thought I was saved, but I wasn't saved. I went out and went soul winning. I went to Sunday school class. I went to all the activities. It was a heart problem. I never got saved. You see, the Bible talks about, remember when Samuel came to Jesse to see about the who's going to be the next king, and the oldest son came out, and he goes, "Oh, that must be it." And God said, you know, man looks on the outward appearance. But where's God look at? On the heart. Now let me say this too. God also sees what's on the outside. If He could see the heart, He's seeing the outside too. And that world out there, that's all they see. And I thought, you know what? We go through all the actions, and a lot of you know this too. You sat in church and you were lost. You got saved. Well, praise the Lord. But you sit in church tonight, you're saved. You may be a member of the church. But you know what? You could be just like Israel, and you're wondering, why is it always defeat? Why am I always having defeat? Why can't anything go ever right with me? And there's going to be difficulties. Why, God? Why? God, you're just not fair. God's always good. And we tell ourselves that, but then we go like, what's going on? And God says, you got a heart problem. You got a heart problem. You see, the Bible tells us in, just turn to one last verse there, all right? Proverbs chapter 4. I think it'll kind of sum it up. The Bible says in verse 23 of Proverbs 4:23, you may know it, but I tell you what's good for us to look at it again. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. You know what will keep us from winning souls? A bad heart. Now, I can go with a bad heart, but if I want to see people saved, I need the Spirit of God to work through me. And we saw here, Israel was doing the right things, but their heart had a problem. They had some gods that when I read it, I'm like, oh, what are they doing in their life? What if tonight our hearts could be revealed? What little G-O-D-S, little gods, would be in our life? You know what it'll do? It'll steal away our victories as we talk to people about Christ. It'll steal away your victory as you try to live for Him. So in this soul winning conference, you know, we could even sit down and I could give you the verses, say, well, you read this verse first and go to the next one, and we can go through about sinner's prayer and follow it up. We could go all those things. You can have all those written down. That's good. I think we ought to know the right things. But if your heart's not right, we saw the casualties because of hearts that had false gods. Tonight, how's your heart? Let's be the best soul winners we possibly can be. And that's when we go out and our hearts are right and God's able. You know what? Folks aren't saved unless the Spirit of God does some convicting. We need the Spirit of God to do something. We've got to get our hearts straightened out. Let's pray.